Welcome, everybody, to the First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia podcast, the seventh podcast that we have done. Today with me, we've got Kyle Ballantyne.
Hey there, Josh.
We've got Lauren Caldwell.
Hello.
And we are smack dab in the middle of Holy Week.
Yes,
that's right. Coming to the end of the Lenten season. And before we jump into that, though, just a couple of announcements of upcoming events. Lauren, the kids have something they're looking forward to.
Yes, on April 10th, which is a Sunday morning, the children and the youth are going to make breakfast for anybody who's interested in coming. So they're going to make pancakes and eggs and bacon and serve us breakfast about 9:30 before everybody goes to Sunday school.
This sounds like something that should become a habit.
Maybe so. We hope it goes well, and it's not a fundraiser. They're not asking for anything. It's simply they want to serve you breakfast. So we hope people show up and come.
I mean, we have third Sunday luncheon. Could we have like second Sunday breakfast?
Maybe. I mean, they're all really good cooks, actually. So we might.
Right. You've bought enough bacon for everyone. Yes.
I haven't purchased it yet, but I will be sure to do so. Okay. Lynn Bronner is going to help us. So
I'm sure
he'll be.
So
he'll make sure that we do.
Youth and children?
Yes, both.
Youth and children.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some fruit too?
I haven't really made the menu yet, but
you're making coffee, right?
I'm not making it.
You
somebody
are in
will make
of
it. Somebody will make it.
Yes, Lauren loves coffee so much. Mm-hmm. Someone has put her in charge.
Yeah, no, you don't want me to make the coffee. It would be terrible.
Something else that's coming up in the life of the church that happens twice a year, that we participate in twice a year, is Congregations in Service, which is coming up April 2nd. And third, a wonderful time of service with other faith communities all around Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never participated in that, I highly recommend that you do that. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, it's a really great time to get together with some other people of different faiths in the community. I've had some interesting conversations holding a hammer or a paintbrush. And what's really great is when the children and youth get to do that too. And both groups are participating on Saturday and then on Sunday.
I recall last time, Josh, didn't we work together on a project?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Hard labor.
We did. We thought they called it gardening, and
that's
then we
right.
got there, it was like,
that's right.
Well, yeah, when I went to garden, when I went to garden, we were scooping horse manure. So
you never really
I win.
I wish you would have held on to that, Lauren, because this week I just, me and the children just planted our garden in the backyard, and that would have been.
Yeah, I wasn't putting that in my car and bringing it anywhere. Thanks. Sorry.
Now, also, just a reminder, this Sunday, as most people know, is Easter Sunday, which means that as a church community, we will be celebrating the resurrection, obviously.
That's right.
But also, we'll be doing a tradition of flowering the cross, the mm-hmm. cross that sits outside on the steps of First Baptist Church. People are encouraged to bring flowers.
Yeah, from your yard, or you can buy them, or go pick them out of somebody else's yard. I wouldn't recommend taking them off someone else's cross. That would probably not be good. But
I do not condone stealing.
No, I wasn't condoning that either.
But apparently Lauren has no problem stealing from other people's yards.
I'm borrowing, can plant some more later.
Yeah, but this is a wonderful tradition at First Baptist Church. Lauren, you made the point a few podcasts ago that we have intentionally not been putting a lot of color in our flower arrangements that are in the service to complement this.
Yeah, they've had a lot of greenery and used less color or muted colors so that the cross is a really big deal when you, it always is. It's always beautiful, and the Flower Guild does a wonderful job with that. But it was just to emphasize that even more.
Mm-hmm. Now, also a reminder, this week, again, there will be no Wednesday night activities. That's been moved to Thursday because it's Maundy Thursday. We'll get to that in a moment. But next week, we will resume our Wednesday night activities.
Right on March 30th.
Okay. Where we will be having a story of grace and faith, and the person who will be presenting is Doug Craig.
Yeah. We've heard from lots of different people, people who have been members for a short time, those who have been here for many, many years, and Doug and Tricia have been here for quite a while, so it'll be good to hear from them.
Yeah. Well, like we said, we're coming to the end of the Lenten season. It's been an early Lent this year, and so we're
early.
Yeah, we are wrapping up the Easter season early. But this week marks really one of the most important weeks in the life of the Christian church, and that would be the Christian church worldwide.
Right.
Celebrates what is known as Holy Week, which begins with Palm Sunday. We just celebrated that this last Sunday, which, as some of you may know or some may not know, Palm Sunday represents a story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem to start off Holy Week.
Right, and some people call it Passion Sunday. Mm-hmm. We try to do a balance of palms and passion, which was ironically the title of John's sermon this past Sunday. But we do, and Kyle can speak to this, but in music and in the elements of worship, we try to be celebratory, but at the same time, we usually talk about it as making a turn towards...
Yeah, right. By the middle to the end of the service, we're sort of foreshadowing what's going to happen later on in the week and move from all the pageantry and big grandness.
Right, right. And so, if you're not familiar with kind of the Christian layout of Holy Week, you have Palm Sunday on Sunday, you have Holy Monday, and Holy Tuesday. A lot of people call Wednesday Silent Wednesday, mainly because if you read through the Gospels, nothing much happens on Wednesday. And so there's
that we know of.
That's right, that we know of. I'm sure something happened.
I'm sure something did.
Right. But there are accounts of things that happen on Monday, accounts of things that happen on Tuesday, and Wednesday it's pretty silent in the Gospels. So a lot of times it's called Silent Wednesday. But then we get to Thursday. Right. And we have what is known as Maundy Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was growing up, the first time I ever heard of that, because I grew up in the Baptist church, and Maundy Thursday was not exactly something that we observed too much. And if we did, it wasn't called Maundy Thursday. It was just, we're going to church on Thursday, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't until I was in middle school and went to a Catholic school where I heard the term Maundy Thursday, and someone, of course, had to correct me and say, no, Josh, it's not Monday Thursday.
Right, that's what I used to think people were saying.
That's right, but it is Maundy Thursday. And, Lauren, what is Maundy? Like, where do we get this word from?
Maundy comes from the Middle English or Old English word, which was also a Latin word. Mandatum, is that correct, I think, that means commandment. And so Maundy Thursday is all about Jesus with the disciples in the upper room where he gives the new commandment that you shall love one another. So you have the Last Supper and you have Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and then he offers them, I give you this new commandment. And so that's what the word Maundy means. It's a commandment.
Hmm. Now, this Thursday, we will have our usual weekly meal, and then after that, our Maundy Thursday service.
Mm-hmm.
And so what should we look forward to in this service?
Well, we're trying to do something a little bit different this year. I think we try to every year to do something unique and different. This year, all three of us, Josh, John, and myself, will be speaking, offering a brief meditation on the three different elements, I guess you could call them, that happen in the upper room. So you have the Last Supper, you have communion, you have Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and you have the denial by Judas. And so we're going to break those down and talk about each one of those and how they relate to that new commandment that Jesus gives. But we're also going to have some actors who are going to portray those scenes silently. They're not spoken. It'll be while the three of us are speaking, but they will silently portray what might have been happening.
Yeah. A lot of times, some Maundy Thursday services I've been to will concentrate on almost one of those instead of doing all three. The concentration will be on washing of the feet, or it'll be just on the Last Supper, or communion, or it'll just be on kind of this theme of denial and such. But for us, we're gonna pull all three of them in there.
Yep.
Well, all three of them happen.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And
that's right.
I didn't say that we also will observe communion at the end of that service and have what we, and maybe Kyle wants to talk about this, a stripping of the sanctuary.
So yeah, at the end of the service on Maundy Thursday, we, for the last several years, I think, have done a stripping of the sanctuary where we take a lot of the elements that you see on Sunday morning or the beginning of this service that are up there, the cross, the banner, a lot of the colors that we have in the sanctuary. And at the end of the service, we take those away to represent what's going to be coming the next day when Jesus is killed and when things are more stark. And it just sort of sets the mood and sets the feel of the sanctuary for our Good Friday service.
Yeah, well, it's a dark time in the story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so you taking away that color and taking away those things are just so symbolic to be able to say, you know what, we are pulling into the darkness of the story right now.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That sort of plays into what Josh and you talked about earlier with the flowering of the cross on Easter.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was about to say.
You know, we take all that stuff out, and then it stays that way for Good Friday, and it's very dark and somber, and then Easter comes. And
it's big, and it's all back. And,
right.
And we've been talking about the candles we've had all throughout Lent as well. Mm-hmm. I think we mentioned that in a podcast. And those on Easter will look very, very different. We'll take the gray and the black away and have some vibrant white.
Yeah, if you've been paying attention to some of those little things,
mm-hmm.
those little symbolisms.
It's subtle.
Then.
Yeah.
Josh, we might also say, in terms of communion on Maundy Thursday, people are invited to come to the rail in the front and take communion by intinction, which is a tradition I think that a lot of people value and it's important to them on Maundy Thursday. We don't do that a lot in our church.
No, and we don't. And even though we do communion by intinction some, we don't often kneel at
right,
the rail.
Right,
and some people really like that opportunity to kneel.
Yeah, I've heard that from several people.
Mm-hmm.
I should say, with you bringing that up, for those of our members who are unable to come to the front and kneel, there will be someone to come around and serve communion to you as
sure,
well.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
Kyle, we're going to have some music that night a little bit too.
Yeah, that evening is mostly going to consist of organ music and some congregational hymns.
Yeah. Now, for you two, has there ever been a Maundy Thursday service that really spoke to you, or a Maundy Thursday moment that really spoke to you maybe in your past at some point?
I really like what we did last year. We had Shannon Wilhite, who stood with a basin of water and a towel. And so after you receive communion, you had the option of going to her, and she was one of our deacons then, and still is now, but she would put water on your hands and say, remember your baptism, and sort of wipe them with the towel. So it wasn't a foot washing, but it was more like a hand washing and a way to remember the waters of your baptism, which I found meaningful, and it was meaningful for me to hear it from one of our servant leaders to
one
say
of
that.
Our members.
Yeah, to say that to me. So that was meaningful for me.
When I was growing up at the church where my family attended, we would have Maundy Thursday, and of course as a kid I probably didn't understand exactly what it was all about, but we had communion every year, and this was a PCUSA, Presbyterian USA church, and they went back to an old tradition, I guess, from this rural congregation where they would actually set up tables in the center aisle. It was a very wide center aisle. And I guess back in the 1800s, they used to set up tables and actually have communion around a table. Everyone would go to the center aisle and stand around these tables. And so that's a tradition that was kind of carried on at that little church. And so they would set up oil lamps on the tables and turn the lights down, and everybody would stand, you know, to really symbolize the idea of that Last Supper. So that was really neat, and it sticks with me.
It's really cool.
I like that.
Now, the next day, of course, is Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can have a nice discussion of why it's called good.
Yeah.
But in the Christian calendar, this marks the day of Jesus' death. And so as we were talking about moving into that darkness of the dark time of this story, we get to Good Friday, and on Friday night we will have a Good Friday service
at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if we didn't say, the Maundy Thursday service is at 6 p.m.
Correct.
And so 7 p.m. for the Good Friday service. And at this service, sometimes people take a couple of different angles at this. Sometimes folks will use the Stations of the Cross to tell the story for a Good Friday service. And sometimes they'll use what are known as the seven last sayings of Jesus, or the seven last phrases of Jesus on the cross, which is what we will be doing this year at Friday's service.
Well, if you've been paying attention, another one of those subtle things during worship, each of the calls to worship throughout Lent have focused on one of those sayings. Right. And so since we did all but one, because there's seven sayings and only six Sundays, so we skipped mm-hmm. one, but we did all six throughout the season of Lent, and we decided that since we had done that we would focus on those during the Good Friday service.
And if you don't know, some of those sayings are things like, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. My God, why have you forsaken me? And like Lauren said, there's seven of these mm-hmm. That Jesus says on the cross as he is crucified and dying. This service is it's typically a dark service. You know?
It is.
As far as tone.
Sometimes it's called a tenebrae mm-hmm. service, which is another one of those old words that we get from Latin, but means darkness. And so it is, like Kyle talked about earlier, taking things out of the sanctuary to prepare for the coming darkness. It's all about, though it is called Good Friday, it is a dark day.
Yeah. It's one of those services where for some of us, especially when I was growing up, it never felt like my tradition let Jesus die.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a race to resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, especially in Good Friday, to sit with the fact that Jesus dies.
Well, it's hard. People don't like the darkness always or to acknowledge that it's there. We'd rather be happy and peppy, but people's lives are not happy and peppy all the time. They're not. And if we can't acknowledge that it's sometimes hard and it's sometimes not fun, I think we deny ourselves a little bit of what we need as well as human beings. And so it's important. I think it's like Ash Wednesday. I find it odd when I tell people that that's one of my favorite services, but it truly is, because that's also a service that is a little bit dark. But it's a very human service, and Good Friday is too.
Even though it's dark, it helps to tell the full story, and then I think it like the other things we talked about, it brings more meaning to Easter morning when you've actually experienced some of that darkness and remembered the events.
Yeah, I think there's a real humanity in the Good Friday service, especially when you think about how, you know, the disciples take off. Like, I mean, they absolutely leave because their leader has now been killed. You know, the person they've staked their life in has now been killed, and he is dead.
Right. You want to talk about devastation.
Right. That's right. I mean, you've staked your life on this guy. And it reminds me of how I think for many of us, we've had those moments where we feel like, man, God has just left the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God has left our, you know, where is God right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, man, the disciples are right there. At that moment where, you know, God literally to them
has left,
you know? And
And we even get to see some of Jesus's humanity. These are some of our best pictures of that. We talk about his divinity a lot. I don't know that we often talk as much about his humanity. And, I mean, some of these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
Or the simple, I am thirsty.
Yeah.
That is a very human, very relatable Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of what the focus of this service is going to be this year. The ministers are going to be expounding on those phrases and what they meant and what they can mean to us and how we can apply them, I think.
Yeah, so again, just like Good Friday, Josh, John, and I will all three be speaking and taking turns, and each of us taking two of those last phrases and reflecting on what Jesus might have been thinking or what might be behind those words. And then there will be some other elements along with that. Claire Johnson has agreed to do some artistic interpretation for us. And so she's going to visually represent some of these phrases. So we will literally watch her create those in front of us.
She did this a couple of years ago,
she
I think,
did.
Or
she, about
Ash
three,
Wednesday?
No,
it?
It was for a Good Friday service.
Okay.
She did it about 3 years ago and did a wonderful job. And so I'm glad that she's able to come back and do that again.
Kyle, the choir's singing that night, correct?
Yeah, the choir's singing that night. And for the phrases where Claire is not depicting something visually, We're going to have some element of music that will be a time for people to sort of reflect and think more about what was said in the meditation. So yeah, the choir is going to sing, and we're going to do some tizay singing, and we've got some hymns in there. So that'll sort of be another piece of the service.
And some instrumental music as well to
right.
for people to reflect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and think and pray.
Mm-hmm. Now, Saturday happens, and then we get to Sunday.
Right.
We get to flower the cross, we get resurrection, we get some good, brightness back in the room.
Yeah. Right. You know? Yes. That's the celebratory time.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, are we expecting some upbeat music for that day?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is risen today, and you know, all the big, wonderful Easter music that people expect.
And of course, the reading for that day is one of the resurrection stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will hear from John about that, which I always think Easter sermon preparation has to be the hardest sermon of the year because it's the same.
How do you say something new?
Thing every, you know, it's the same story every year. You're right. How do you say something new on Easter Sunday? You know, that folks have not heard before.
But I'm sure he'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll probably find something.
I'm sure he will. Hopefully we will see many of you at the Maundy Thursday service. Like we said, that's going to be at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. And on Good Friday, that is going to be a 7 p.m. service also in the sanctuary. And of course, Easter Sunday is going to be 11 o'clock a.m. in the sanctuary. If you want to come to Sunday school before that, that would be awesome. That's at 9:45. We've got multiple Sunday schools that you can be a part of. And also, if you want to follow us on Facebook, please do that. You can like us on Facebook and follow us. You can see all sorts of pictures from our Easter egg hunt that we had this past Sunday.
Yes, it was terrific. Yeah.
It was. And also, you could follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at FBCSAV. So pick us up and follow us on those mediums and keep up with all sorts of stuff that's going on in the life of First Baptist Church Savannah. Until next time, this is Josh.
This is Lauren
and Kyle,
and we'll see you later.